Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, verses 12 to 23. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I'll be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, Is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, all of them sleep in glory, every one in his own house. But you are cast out of your grave, like an abominable branch, like the garment of those who are slain, thrust through with a sword, who are down to the stones of the pit, like a corpse trodden underfoot. You will not be joined with them in burial, because you have destroyed your land and slain your people. The brood of evildoers shall never be named. Prepare slaughter for his children because of the iniquity of their father, lest they rise up and possess the land and fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, says the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and offspring and posterity, says the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the porcupine and marshes of muddy water. I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, says the Lord of hosts. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, whose glory he will not give to another, and who will bring to nothing the glory of man, dear fellow redeemed, hell eagerly awaits the arrival of mankind's greatest. That's quite a statement, but all too true. Some of mankind's most powerful rulers, richest, most famous, greatest athletes, actors, arts entertainment, most intelligent, are the farthest from God. We look at the world rulers today, those who rule powerful nations, many of them don't know Jesus. Vladimir Putin of Russia, the Iranian leader Hassan Rouhani, Xi Jinping of China, Kim Jong-un of North Korea, powerful nations they rule. They don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. The list of the famous, powerful, influential leaders, past and present, who have and had great influence around the world, but who will not enjoy peace in eternity, that list can go on and on and on, all the way back to the beginning of time. In our text this morning, we see what is portrayed when God's glory meets man's glory. Man's glory tries to overpower God's glory, but in so doing, he brings upon himself the just verdict and judgment of God. This morning, our theme is, who are the shakers and movers of this world? And our first point is one answer. In a worldly way, it's sinful mankind who shakes and moves this world. We need to read a few verses just prior to our sermon text to get a little bit of background to what Isaiah is saying in chapter 14 here. Verses 9 to 11, we read, Hell from beneath is excited about you, to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you, all the chief ones of the earth. It is raised up from their thrones, all the kings of the nations. They all shall speak and say to you, Have you also become weak, as weak as we? Have you become like us? Your pomp is brought down to Sheol, and the sound of your stringed instruments? The maggot is spread under you, and worms cover you. Wow. Of whom is the Lord speaking there? He's speaking about the king of Babylon. Hell is eagerly awaiting his arrival. Those who are in hell are just excited about this powerful great king who's going to be soon coming to hell. And they're saying, the same thing that happened to us is going to happen to him. All his pomp and glory and power is going to be exchanged for maggots, worms, and eternal suffering. But before his death, this king of Babylon was a shaker and mover of the world. In fact, Isaiah calls him, our text, one who made the earth tremble. He shook nations. He made the world as a wilderness because he destroyed city after city after city. He was feared by people. He made his impression upon many, many nations, and he bragged about what he'd done and about what he planned to do. We read in verses 13 and 14, "For you have said in your heart," this is the king of Babylon now saying to himself, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." What audacity for simple mankind to speak like that toward God. And yet that's the way it's been ever since the beginning. Ever since the angel, Satan, sinned against God, tried to overthrow God because he wanted to be like God, even greater than God. And that might be one reason why this king of Babylon is given the name Lucifer, which is used for Satan, which means day star or bright star. The king of Babylon is an anti-type of the devil who brags and boasts about how powerful he is and who wanted to be like God. This king of Babylon, like many tyrants and dictators in the history of the world, deified themselves and said, "I'm like the Most High," much like the pharaohs of Egypt. But this pride and self-glory is not just restricted to those who openly stand before God and boast and brag about their power and how strong they are. This is found in all of sinful mankind. It's found in all of those who oppose God, oppose his word, oppose the work of God's word, and exalt themselves. But God says, "I will not give my glory to anyone else." And so first of all, we think of the scientists of our day. The scientists who use their puny minds and say such wise nonsense as, "Well, this world is billions and billions of years old, all came about through evolutionary chances, random chance, with no God, no creator." Completely opposite to what God clearly says about his glory in his word. Or the scientists and doctors who study the DNA of man, all the different parts of mankind, and see how man is so wonderfully fit together and says, "Well, wow, isn't that something? How evolution just put us together from little amoebas to monkeys to finally human beings." Or the scientists who put up the Hubble telescope, sent it to the very edge of the stars, edge of the universe, to try and find out the beginning, where we all came from. Sounds like the king that says, "I'll ascend into the heaven. I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God." How about the politicians in this world who think of themselves as being above the law, who misuse and abuse the legal system for their own self-glorification, promote such immoral, unscriptural things as abortion, homosexuality, same-sex marriage, and this can go on and on. How about within religion itself? How about the Pope, who sits on his throne at Rome, and he's honored and called the Holy Father? There's one Holy Father, That's God the Father. And then he says, when he speaks ex cathedra, meaning speaking from the throne in Rome, what he says is God's word, whether it's from the Bible or not, because he's the vicar, he's the spokesman for Christ. What vainglory. And how about any false teacher in churches that say, the Lord says, and then they proclaim and preach whatever their mind, whatever their reason, whatever their thoughts, whatever they think is acceptable. What arrogance. But you notice there's someone missing in this list. You. And me. We're part of this list too. What? Why? When? Whenever our hearts despise God's plan for our lives, whenever we think we know better how our life should go than God does, whenever we're filled with worry and anxiety over the things that are happening in our life, whenever we complain or criticize God for laying such crosses upon us, or when we willfully despise God's word and choose to do exactly the opposite of what God tells us in his commandments, then we're just like these who glorify themselves rather than God. Even though these may only be thoughts in our minds, never even verbalized by our mouths, God knows your hearts. God knows my heart. He sees how vile and selfish our thoughts and our hearts are. So we look at this world, we got to say, yeah, the shakers and movers of this world are the people whose glory replaces God's glory. The people who set the trends, the people who determine and dictate the morals, the people who make the news, who establish the lifestyles, who hold the power, the bold and the brash, who declare, I have the right to take my own life through self-assisted suicide, and I have the right to take the lives of the unborn through abortion on demand. The arrogant who doesn't believe that God has any right to tell him what to do because he doesn't exist, or he's just an old grandfatherly type that just winks at things and isn't involved in our daily life. And the self-righteous who say, all of us are going to get to heaven anyhow because we just got to be good, do good, and try the best you can, and you'll eventually get there. But what is the ultimate result to all those who exchange God's glory for their own? Well, in many cases, we don't see that ultimate result this side of eternity. Unbelievers, proud, boastful people, they die and they're buried, just like believers die and are buried. But in this case, as in the case of the rich man with Lazarus, the Lord lets us see beyond death into eternity. He tells us, speaking to the king of Babylon, you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit, hell itself. Remember in those verses that we read prior to our text, those people in hell are eagerly waiting for him to come, to be in the same place that they are, and exchange his pomp and his glory and his power for suffering and maggots and worms. The Lord is going to show his power, that he is the only real shaker and mover of this earth. When he deals with these pretenders with all of their glory and all their puny might and power, he said this when he talked about the destruction of the powerful Egyptian nation. I made the nation shake at the sound of its fall when I cast it down to hell together with those who descend into the pit. In verse 18 of our text, Isaiah tells us, the kings of the nation, they sleep in glory, everyone in his own house. Isaiah is speaking about man's glory, not God's glory. And we see the same thing. The pharaohs of Egypt and all their ornate sepulchres. Even today, we have ornate sepulchres for our heroes. There's the Lincoln Memorial, Jefferson Memorial, Washington Monument, Grant's Tomb, the eternal flame of JFK. We think of all the ceremony that takes place when a leader dies, when one of our presidents dies, all the pomp and ceremony that goes on. They have their glory, man's glory at their death. But this proud, defiant king of Babylon, the Lord says, won't even have a grave. We read verses 19 and 20. But you are cast out of your grave like an abominable branch, like the garment of those who are slain, thrust through with a sword, who go down to the stones of the pit, like a corpse trodden underfoot. You will not be joined with them in burial, because you have destroyed your land and slain your people. The brood of evildoers shall never be named. This king won't even have a shrine, not even a headstone. They're a good-for-nothing branch that's thrown into a burning pile, and like the bloody clothes of a slain soldier just piled up and then thrown away. This man, this king, will be trodden underfoot. Cool. Does that remind you of a very powerful queen in the Old Testament? Queen Jezebel, married to King Ahab. When Ahab died, she was in a window. She saw the next king coming. She said, wait, waved to him and hailed him. He said, throw her down. She was thrown down from the second floor, splattered on the ground. He walked over her with his horses. And by the time they went out to bury her, all they found was her skull, her feet, and the palms of her hands. She was eaten by dogs. At the end of World War II, the powerful Italian dictator Mussolini was hung by his own people, and then his body was mutilated. Many once powerful, proud, boastful rulers have met the same kind of an end. God will not put up with man's self-glory and pride, if not in eternity, if not in time, at least in eternity. The warning of God is very clear. He says in 1 John 2, for all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. But not only did this king of Babylon bring upon himself a judgment of God because of his pride and his evil and wickedness, but even passed on to his children. We read in the last verses, for I will rise up against them, says the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and offspring and posterity, says the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the porcupine in marshes of muddy water. I will sweep it with a broom of destruction, says the Lord of hosts. This great king who is destroying land after land and inhabitant after inhabitant will now be cut off, so that even his children will be destroyed, and there'll be no posterity left. His once glorious kingdom, ornate, wonderful, buildings, lavish furnishings, will become a swamp, marshland, jackals, porcupines, wild animals will inhabit it. And the Lord says it'll be like sweeping the dirt off the floor, forever gone. That's reality. This is the word of the Lord. Contrast that with the boasting of the king. I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll be like the Most High. Man's glory is brought down either in this world or surely in eternity. Boastful, proud people do not fill heaven. They fill hell. But there is good news in all this judgment, in all this warning. The Lord God is the shaker. He's the mover of this world. He's the one who sets the standards. He's the one who decides the morals of his people. He's the one who decides our lifestyles and motivates us through the Holy Spirit to live according to his word. He controls and directs all of history. He's involved in every one of our lives. He shook the world, we're told, 2,000 years ago. When he sent his son into this world, God the Son, conceived and born of the Virgin Mary, an unheard of miracle, a baby being born without a male, a human male. The Holy Spirit conceiving God the Son in Mary's womb. And then 30-some years later, he shook the world again when he took that perfect God-man and placed him on the cross and poured out all of his hatred and wrath and condemnation for our sins upon his son and damned him to pay for the guilt and punishment of all of our sins. And 3 days later, he shook the world again by Jesus rising from the dead, declaring that if you believe in me, you have everlasting life and you'll rise from the dead to live forever in heaven. And someday, he'll shake the world one last time. When everything that we see here, all heaven and earth, all the universe, will be burnt up, destroyed, and recreated, the new heaven and the new earth. And all who believe in him will be taken to live with him forever in this new heaven and new earth. And all those who rejected him will spend eternity in hell. Even as man's glory can adversely affect the generations to come, so also the revealing of God's glory can bountifully and beautifully affect our future generations. Haggai says that when he's proclaiming the coming of the Savior. Haggai 2, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it's a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts." Who's the desire of all nations? It's Jesus. Jesus shake the earth by sending Jesus to this world. And as they come to Jesus, they're going to fill the temple with his glory. What's the temple? The Holy Christian Church. You and me. Living in this church of God. All believers in Christ. Isn't that amazing? Our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the shaker and mover of this earth, and we're part of that. Every time you tell someone, Jesus loves you. Jesus lived perfectly for you. Jesus died upon the cross to take away all your sins, and he rose from the dead. That shakes and moves this world, far more powerful than any other power in this world. So not only is God the shaker who moved this earth, but so are you and me, shaking and moving this world by preaching the simple little gospel message of Christ crucified and risen again. May our glorying ever be in Christ, not in ourselves, in his sacrifice for us, in his resurrection for us. As the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 6, "God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.